The Nicky Byrne Show with Jenny Green on 2FM.
Proudly sponsored by Aldi. We've dropped our prices on hundreds of products. Even more reasons to swap to Aldi today.
Boy, comedian royalty. Phil Jupiter's in the house, everybody!
Hello. How are you today?
I'm very well. How are you, sir? You all right?
Not too bad.
Can I say, I think that's the nicest voice we've had on a microphone in this studio, just as I'm hearing you there.
Present company.
Theatrical training. You've got present a beautiful company. Voice. Come on now.
Excluded, Jen.
Come on.
Sorry.
Listen to his. He's got a beautiful burr. Do you not think?
You're right. Just don't sing.
Phil has my back.
Okay.
Right, listen, we're going to take a quick break and then we're back to chat to Phil. Is that okay with everybody?
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you. You know what? You've got to pay the bills, Phil. You know what's
going on. Live music with 2FM.
Waterboys. Four nights at Vicar Street, November 4th to 7th. Tickets on sale now. I just found God.
We always want. I will be a visual man with light in my head. You in my arms.
Live music. With 2FM.
This is a commercial for Hovis. Which is grand, except on radio, how do we get over how really tasty Hovis bread is?
Mmm.
Oh no, that doesn't work at all. How do we illustrate that Hovis has no artificial preservatives? Nature sounds, really? And how on earth do we show that Hovis is good, honest bread that's baked daily for all the family? The truth is, we can't. The only way to really get the flavour of Hovis is to try it for yourself. Hovis, tasty, nutritious bread for all the family.
The Nicky Byrne Show with Jenny Green on 2FM.
Proudly sponsored by Aldi. Enjoy the best of summer for less with our new Let's Eat range in store now.
12:23, it's usually we take a song now, but we got Phil Jupiter's in the studio, so I thought it would be rude to go to a song, Phil. We've got royalty in the studio. How the hell are you, man?
I'm very well indeed. Thank you, dear boy. And you, are you well?
We're all good.
A lovely room.
It is. It's a bit, we tell people, it's a little bit like a nightclub or being at the bar, propped up at the bar. In fact, what would you like to drink? I've got, let's like Alan Carr's show. What would you like?
I would just a sparkling water for me. In this country, once the first domino drink is tipped, that's it. You wake up in a skip a week later, and I can't have that happening.
So tell us, Never Mind the Buzzcocks is no more.
Is indeed, yeah, finally, Britain's national nightmare is over. It's finally such a great,
my favourite part in that programme is when they used to play a clip from 20 years ago and there'd be, and you'd have to guess the woman from the video and she'd come out in a swimsuit and you're like, which one is it?
The lineup. There's a lot of people thought that we saw the film clip as well, and they thought that's really easy. You can see that they're the same, but we don't know.
I actually saw the film clip, and I still couldn't figure out who it was. So it's probably why I wasn't on the show.
It would vary. The lineup was always was a weird one to do.
Who was your best kind of guest that you would have had on? What, Carl? That was
Wogan.
It. That was instant.
Straight away. Sorry.
Really?
He's magnificent. He did the quickest ever recording we've had, and it's the first time the only time in 18 years where a guy, the floor manager, they've got the headphones on, he's nodding, and he just leans into Wogan and he goes, "No retakes, Sir Terry." It's one of the most amazing things I've ever heard. He's that slick, Wogan. It's just like, and he did this amazing thing where what he does is he reads the auto cue and then he turns around to me or Noel. He turns around to us, but still reciting the auto cue. So he remembers a line ahead. And so he's not always looks like he's reading.
Yeah.
He turns his head around and remembers line and comes back to it. Astonishing kind of. And the television professionals are always really good to have on, like Lorraine Kelly and Cilla Black. Cilla, love it a bit.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was always. They were just so good. They were like television royalty. And I always used to get really giddy at people from when I was a kid being on. So the pop stars from when I was a kid. So Susie Quattro, Noddy Holder from Slade, Roy Wood from Wizard, David Essex. People like that come on the show. And I'd just be in bits, you know. Because they were from Top of the Pops when I was a little one.
So I loved it.
Absolutely loved it.
Well, you must miss it. How long did it run for?
18 years. No, this is the first year where I've had the autumn off. So normally, around about October is when we'd be recording. Right. So this is the first time I've had an October off in 18 years, and it's quite refreshing, dear boy, I have to say.
When you shot those, was it? I know you do a lot this way in England. You kind of shoot for like 2-3 hours into like a half an hour, program. Was it shooting for
what we do. Yeah. You know, they were lengthy records, but that's kind of all of those panel game shows, things like Mock the Week, Have I Got News for You, they're kind of a testament to the editor's art. Because that's what they do, is they take that kind of 2 hours, 2.5 half hours of footage from the studio. Mayhem, really, sometimes.
Yeah.
And just pull that half an hour. They only need 27 minutes of screen time out of it.
It's the same with things like Celeb Juice. Do you watch Celeb Juice? Have you been on Celeb
Juice? No. I think the thing is, I've done Buzzcocks and I do QI. I do QI because I'm a fan of Stephen.
Right.
And I did Buzzcocks because it was my one. But I tend to avoid the other panel games now because I had one, you know, right. And I know what it's like.
Yeah.
But that said, I'm unemployed now. So if you do have a panel show or a pop quiz,
options.
Needs a team captain.
Well, to be fair, you're open. You can do radio, you can do TV, you can do acting.
Well, I think musicals is the thing I do quite a bit
of.
I was in the producers for half of the tour, and Ross Noble took the part over for a while. I shall be, in fact, it's going to be announced next week. I'm going to be doing a new musical, but I'm not allowed to say what it is yet, but that will be announced next Thursday.
Give us a clue.
Is it Dirty Dancing?
I always dance dirtily. You know that. You've seen me. You know the shapes I throw. They're strange.
And fellas, in terms of stand-up, I did see recently you were talking about female comedians and saying that they are doing all the best stuff.
It's more that they're doing the more innovative ideas are coming from women. Because
do you think they're braver, or what do you think
it is? Certainly with the way that women are treated and regarded, and the fact that women in comedy is a separate issue and a hot button topic for discussion is absurd. They're comedians. They're just comedians, and it should be the same. But because at the minute there's this, you know, this kind of artificial fuss around women in comedy, I just think that they're saying the important things that need to be said. You know, the fact that women in comedy are coming through now, that Sandy Toksvig and Catherine Mayer and a load of other people are behind the Women's Equality Party in the UK. Mm. I think, you know, it's you know, women are equal citizens. Let's sort that out now. You know, let's make it a proper and fair society. I speak as a father of two daughters, and so I'm very on board with all that.
They're in Ireland for the Vodafone Comedy Carnival in Galway.
Indeed so.
That's a big one. Some great names on there. Dylan Moore and Jason Manford, Rich Hall, Jason Burns there. Some great Irishmen there. Ardal O'Hanlon, people like that.
Yeah.
So it's a great get-together.
It's what's brilliant about a festival is it kind of gives you a chance to sort of catch up with people. So, you know, it's Beardy Man is doing his, 100 albums a show, one hour, I can't remember. But Beardy Man,
who's
twice kind of a UK beatbox champion, is amazing. You won't believe what he can do. Paul Curry, a really surreal kind of Steve Martin-esque comedian from Northern Ireland, is on the bill as well. An act who lots of people are talking about is Lynn Ruth Miller, who is 81. Started doing stand-up 10 years ago.
81,
and she's doing a show.
Whereabouts is she from?
She is from America, from New York.
I thought that was her for a minute. Sophie Hagen, who we actually had on the show. I was like, wait. I thought she's looking well for 81. Sorry, Sophie. Okay, I know she listens in.
It's really, you know, we keep an eye on Sophie, especially.
And in relation to your material, I did see a show one night on the TV that you were talking about your daughter's boyfriend.
Correct.
Yeah, and it was about the beers in the fridge.
Yeah, that's right.
Are they still together?
No, this was a long, long time. It's really weird, but it's very odd when you talk about something that's real, but I
wondered, was it real? Because I thought, that was my dad, I'd kill him. I would kill him.
Yeah. No, it's a true story. But the thing is, it was that bit of material. It's weird. I did it, and it's very cathartic to do something like that, to be able to talk about it in public. And so I don't need to go to therapy. I'm a stand-up comic. That is my therapy.
And Nikki is a young daughter, so he has it all ahead of him. He just doesn't know yet.
She's only two, my daughter, now next, at the end of this month.
It's a way away.
You'll blink and she'll be 18.
I can't imagine her bringing somebody home, and, you know, I'd have to have that chat, you know.
Indeed, this is it.
Did you have that chat? Yeah, is that what this is about?
No, but that's... It's not my business.
Right.
Is it, really? I'm the dad.
I mean the chat with the guy. Or
no, I mean, but it's not my business.
Okay.
It is your house, though.
It is
your daughter.
But it's you. That's what I was saying, is that as parents, you've got to kind of change your attitude. And some parents go too far and want to act like they're mates with their kids. And you're not your kid's mates. You're your kid's parent.
Yeah.
And that relationship has to be maintained, I think. I've got to be a dad first and foremost. But at the second time, you know, you've got to, in parallel with that, you've got to progress from what my parents were like.
Yes.
You know.
There's a happy medium somewhere
there's got to be something. And we've the people that got to try and find it. I'm not saying I was happy with it, but you... And it's a bit like my missus said. It's like, and it's that bit there's a bit in the act where she says, you know, you wanted our parents to be cool. It's our turn to be cool.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't want to be cool. Yeah. In your heart, you don't want to be the cool parent, but you've kind of got to be. Things have to move on. Otherwise, as a species, we will atrophy.
What's your opinion then on things as a parent on social media and stuff? Because can you imagine living in that era?
I've got a feeling, and people kind of shout me down when I say this, but I've got a feeling that in future, and I'm talking about in 40, 50 years' time, we will look back on the Facebook and Twitter years the way now we look back on smoking in the 1940s and 50s.
Yeah.
I think that it's having its thing now, and the harm that it's doing to society will be revealed over the coming years. And I think
I can't agree with you more. I cannot agree. I 100% back that.
We spoke about it this morning. You know, there's apparently a new app out that, you know, along the way of sort of TripAdvisor, you're going to be able to rate people, whether it's friends, colleagues, just people you meet, and you can put up whatever you want about them, and apparently it can't be removed. You're allowed to respond to it. But I can give you, I can put up a review on you today, give you one star and say it was really unpleasant individual for whatever reason, and you can't remove that's to me is just wrong on so many levels.
It's just that people sit and think about let's do this, let's make the world more judgmental than it is already, and
it's frightening.
I've started doing it now, which is very deliberately is going back to a pre-mobile phone state and putting the phone on the side. I'm starting to go out now. If you need to reach me, so I say to my agent, look, I'll ring into the office at 2 o'clock, and I'll ring in at 10, I'll ring in at 2, but I'm not taking the phone with me.
Yeah.
And now when I go on holiday, there's no gadgets.
Yeah.
And it's got to stop. I think that, you know, we've got to stop looking at the palm in front of us, you know, stop looking at that gadget. And it's so easy to be sucked into. It's so compulsive. I had a mate I was in a play with, and every time I went backstage, and she's in the play, this is during the play, I'd go backstage and I'd see that glow. And her face and her thumbs working away at the phone every time. And I'm like, you're here and you're doing a job.
Yeah.
Or are you?
You're never really in the moment, though. No. Even if you're watching a film or a TV show at home and you're kind of going, I wonder what everyone else is saying about this, instead of actually just watching
it. Bad enough that there are so many distractions. You've got to engage with the world again. You know, I think the beginning of it was Walkmans.
Yeah.
That was the beginning of it.
I loved them.
You walked around with your own soundtrack and you felt hip as hell.
And
you
your
felt
cassette.
Unbelievable.
I've recorded that off the radio and the DJ's just talked over the intro there, but I haven't.
But that's it. But you used to do that and you had these little soundtracks.
Your little orange headphones. You couldn't hear anything.
But you're disengaged from the world around you. That's the first point.
I also think as well, people now try harder to be funny or to be more critical. Like if you watch the Saturday Night Show in the past, you might have an opinion on that person, but now it's like, think of this joke and put it out on Twitter and it's going to get 1,000 retweets or 100 retweets.
I heard a thing. I got a friend in America who's an actor and went up for a part in a sitcom, and one of the questions they were asked by the casting director was, how many Twitter followers have you got? And that is now a consideration.
Whether you get the job or not.
What use are you to us in terms of the social media side of the project once it gets going?
Call us old fashioned, but I remember like back when I was a kid, like your mom and dad made everything okay. No matter what you did, you come in, if you're honest, they'd say, don't worry, we can sort it out. But nowadays,
if
when your child comes in and says, I've done this, it's up on social media.
That's it, you can't get rid of it. It's there forever.
You know, help me. Well, it's a weird
world. I think it will not in our lifetime, but it will go away.
There you go. Well, you heard it from the man himself.
The man himself. Right, Tuesday the 20th of October is when it kicks off, the Vodafone Comedy Carnival in Galway, and it runs to the 26th. We'd love to be there. Jenny, you going to make your way down?
I actually will, because I haven't been down in Galway in a while, and Salt Hill down in Galway is my favourite spot.
Well, this is where I'm stopping this year. I've got the old Airbnb at Salt Hill.
Oh, have
looking
you?
Looking forward to that, yeah. I've never done that before.
I'll see you for a pint in O'Connor's then.
I'll see you there.
Oh, yeah. Deal.
Phil, it's always great to chat to you. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you so much.
We're going to play the second best.